Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorick. This month marks the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots, seen by many as a turning point in the push for LGBTQ equality. Because of that, June was chosen as Pride Month, and a number of Pride events across the country and around the world will take place over the next few weeks. But on Saturday, the Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island, Thomas Tobin, sent out this tweet, quote, "A reminder that Catholics should not support or attend LGBTQ Pride Month events held in June. They promote a culture and encourage activities that are contrary to Catholic faith and morals. They are especially harmful for children," end quote. The tweet, unsurprisingly, generated some strong responses, more than 86,000 on Twitter alone, with mixed reactions. Some, like Providence parishioner Tyler Rowley, who spoke with Rhode Island's NBC 10, support Tobin's message.
I think it's bad for children to see half-naked men running around, whether it's at a Pride rally or whether it's in my neighborhood. I don't want children seeing that. And I think he's speaking to the types of things that go on.
Others have pushed back. Joe Lazzarini, president of Rhode Island Pride, said this to News Talk Station WPRO today.
He is attacking the LGBTQIA plus community. And that's why we called a spade yesterday. And we went after him for his words and for his hate and for his bigotry, because that's exactly what it is. And that's why he should step down and resign from as Bishop of the Catholic Church.
Now, Bishop Tobin isn't stepping down, but he has issued a statement saying he regretted that his tweet was, quote, so controversial and, quote, offensive to some, but that his, quote, obligation before God is to lead the faithful entrusted to my care and to teach the faith clearly and compassionately, even on very difficult and sensitive issues. Joining me now in studio to talk about all of this is Marianne Duddy Burke. She's the executive director of Dignity USA, an organization of Catholics working for LGBTQ equality. Marianne, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
And also with us is Professor Richard Gagliardi, chair of the theology department at Boston College and a past president of the Catholic Theological Society of America. Professor Gagliardi, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to invite you into this conversation also. What do you make of all this? Should the Catholic Church be more open to LGBTQ parishioners? Or is Bishop Tobin just following the Church's teachings and right to warn Catholics to avoid gay pride events this month? Does the Church need to adjust its teachings to fit modern society's values? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Marianne, I want to start with you. What was your reaction when you saw the tweet this weekend?
You know, as a mother, as a lesbian Catholic, as just a faithful Catholic, it was both painful and infuriating to see Bishop Tobin step into an area he really had no business going. I mean, he really was denouncing our entire community and calling it inconsistent with the love of God, with the teachings of Christ, and saying that it was harmful for children to see this display of love, respect, and affirmation in a public setting.
Yeah. Professor Gagliardi, what do you make of the tweet? Does this fit with the Church's teachings on the subject?
No. I mean, that's what's so deeply unfortunate about Bishop Tobin's tweet. Look, whatever one thinks of the Roman Catholic Church's official teaching on LGBTQ activities, gay marriage, and so on and so forth, and there's a lot of room for people to disagree with that, there's nothing in the Catholic Church's official teaching that leads one to the kind of sweeping denunciation that we see with Bishop Tobin. Indeed, Catholic Church's teaching is unambiguous, as he admitted in his apology or quasi-apology. Catholic Church's teaching is unambiguous in its affirmation of the dignity of all LGBTQ persons. Now, if that's the case, why would you denounce a series of events that's fundamentally dedicated to affirming the dignity of those persons? It makes no sense.
So can you give us – I mean, you're an expert in the theology of the Church here – What's the Catholic Church's stance on same-sex marriage?
Sure. So first I'm going to back it up just a little bit to say that within the Catholic Church's 2,000-year tradition, there are a number of teachings that have varying degrees of authority. And I think it's important for people to realize that. There's a tendency for everybody to lump everything from what Catholics profess in the creed each Sunday to our laws about how we celebrate the Mass and give it equal authority. We call that the hierarchy of truths. And the first thing I would say is that in Catholic teaching, the official position on issues related to same-sex marriage, homosexuality, and so on, are a long ways removed from the center of the the Catholic Christian faith, all right? And there are teachings there that have to be treated with respect, but there is also, even in Catholic Church teaching, a recognition that there's a remote possibility of error in those teachings. So I want to contextualize all this to say we're not talking about teaching like the resurrection of Jesus, right? Or the Trinity or something. Having said that, the Catholic Church believes that sacramental marriage exists only, can be entered into only by persons of the opposite sex, and that sex outside of marriage, whether with straight persons or gay persons, therefore is inappropriate because it doesn't fall within the ambit of sacramental marriage. So the crucial issue, of course, is the Catholic Church's judgment that same-sex persons can't enter into a sacramental marriage. Now, I think there are a lot of questions about how coherent that teaching is. But that's the nub of the official teaching of the Catholic Church. That's a long ways away from talking about the dignity of persons who have a same-sex orientation.
It is. But Marianne, I want to get you to weigh in on that, because I think some would say that, and some have said that Bishop Tobin is just basically saying the point of view of the Church, and that he's fine to spell that out. What's your reaction to that?
The basic values of our faith are about love, are about respecting the dignity of every human being as created by God and as reflecting the divine in the world. And I think that by saying that that is not happening in pride parades, the bishop way overstepped his authority, his realm of expertise, and he created pain in people's lives that was unnecessary to do so. You know, I think this is part of the problem. I mean, he went out of his way to cause pain for a group of people who often feel vulnerable already in society and really feel vulnerable in our church. And he spoke on behalf of the church on a matter that most Catholics disagree with him on. You know, the vast majority of Catholics support LGBTQIA people in their families, in their church communities, in their neighborhoods, and are happy to see that the society has become more accepting, that pride events are now joyful celebrations of our identity and our ability to be anywhere we want to be in society, including in our churches.
Yeah, I've been trying to wrap my head around what he was trying to accomplish by sending that tweet out. Professor Ghilardi, I saw you kind of nodding along to me.
Well, I would agree with Marianne, first of all, that my biggest objection is that he overstepped his bounds. I mean, he's making a judgment that's not pertaining to Catholic teaching in a strict sense. It's a much more sweeping generalization, and it's hard, you know, his apology notwithstanding, it's hard not to wonder about his motives here. You know, I think Bishop Tobin has a reputation for being a church cultural warrior, and the bishops who are in that camp, and I think they're a minority, but they're a very vocal minority, want to stir things up, you know, want to make what they think is a prophetic statement, you know, denouncing what they see as a deeply troubling, you know, gay culture. But I would also point out that there's so much presupposed in his judgment that not only doesn't proceed from Catholic teaching, but stands in the face of empirical evidence. I mean, there is absolutely no evidence to suggest that gay persons in any way are more likely to abuse children, or that children being around those persons is in any way going to be harmful to them. And if he wants to prohibit Catholics from attending places where men are walking around half-dressed, he needs to also ban the Red Sox bleachers at Fenway and maybe perhaps, you know, a Bruins hockey game this evening.
A lot there. I want to bring some calls in. We're talking about Providence, Rhode Island Bishop Thomas Tobin's tweet encouraging Catholics not to attend any gay pride events this month. You can weigh in 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Stephen from Providence, Rhode Island joins us. Stephen, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing? I'm from Providence, and I've been to Pride for going on 4 or 5 years now. And to touch on the half-naked men walking around, it's a very family-friendly time there, and he's essentially even body-shaming people on the same, you know, body-shaming people. You know, why can't, like you were saying, why can't people walk around with their shirt off? It's the middle of the day. People do it at sporting events, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Why can't a kid be around someone that's shirtless?
Steve, thanks for the call. Yeah, go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah, I think that anybody who attends a Pride event these days will see that these events are packed with families of all sorts. You know, you have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles walking with their LGBTQI family members. You have same-sex couples and trans folks who are raising kids there with their kids. You have schools who come, you know, as groups. You have corporate events that invite their whole families of their employees to come. I mean, this is a festival that says we welcome LGBTQI folks into our societies, and they really are joyous and fun events.
So I want to ask about this kind of divide in the church, and Bishop Tobin kind of got to it in his non-apology apology. It was kind of the typical, I'm sorry if you were offended by the things I said. But there were folks who were leaving service on Sunday that were giving comment that were supporting Tobin's message. I want to play a clip from Rhode Island NBC 10, local resident Dean Cooper. Here's what he had to say.
The Lord says that we should not commit homosexuality, okay? It doesn't mean that we should hate homosexuals or exile them. We should love them while we're on this earth, but we should also try to educate them that it is wrong.
So I want to kind of get to this, the essence of this argument of love the sinner but not the sin, because in this instant, it feels like you're saying the core component of who someone is the problem. And even though you're not judging them for it, you kind of are, right? How does that square?
Yeah, I think that you've just hit, Chris, on the untenable dilemma of Catholic moral ethical teaching on sexuality right here. You cannot separate somebody's identity, you know, God-given, God-created, blessed identity from how we express ourselves in relationships. And I think that that is the dilemma that the church finds itself in, as the official church, as it tries to say, you know, yes, you are loved and created by God and we treat you with dignity, but you can't engage in relationships that fully reflect who you are. And I think more and more Catholics in the pew, Catholics who are frontline ministers, are finding that dilemma to just be untenable and recognize that gay and trans people, like everybody else, need to be able to live a full life that includes intimate relationships.
Because this isn't something like choosing not to eat meat or something like that. This is a kind of a factor of who you are, right?
Yeah. I mean, sexuality is not just what you do. It shapes everything about who you are and how you frame the world. And I think until we really understand human embodiment more fully, I think that the official church is going to continue to stumble over that. Fortunately, Catholics in general have gone far beyond where our leaders are, and most Catholics do embrace and welcome and support fully their LGBTQI kin.
So just two things I would add to that. My only caution towards what Marianne said. What Marianne said is true, by the way. It's primarily true in North America and Europe. If you think of Catholicism around the world, it's a more difficult situation. For example, the church in Africa is dealing with, in some ways, a far more severe homophobia even than what we deal with.
Yeah, America's Catholic Church is pretty liberal in
exactly.
terms of a global perspective.
I'm entirely in agreement with Marianne. I do want to say that one of the difficulties that, say, at the international level, the Catholic Church has to deal with is that when you deal with a global church, things get a lot different when you move outside the global north. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, you know, that clip that you played speaks to a heart of the problem. I mean, the Catholic Christian community is a church that gives a great deal of emphasis and authority to Scripture and tradition. But note what he said. He's talked about the Lord's teaching. In point of fact, Scripture doesn't have a lot to say about homosexuality. In fact, there are a lot of biblical scholars that say it has nothing to do with it.
So I actually want to follow on that because we've got a caller on the line that has a question about
okay.
Scripture. Clay from Sharon, welcome to Radio Boston. What's your question?
So my question for the theologian is, in the Bible, when it speaks of mankind shall not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. I mean, what is ambiguous and unclear about that statement?
Good.
So
first of all, it's dreadfully difficult to address biblical texts like this in a short period of time.
Of course.
But
we're going to make you do it anyway.
But part of the Catholic tradition of reading scripture is that we read scripture in an historically conscious way. So we ask questions, what are the presuppositions at the time? I would remind the caller that that same text is found in what's called the Holiness Code of the Book of Leviticus and later in Deuteronomy, in which things like touching pig skin and planting two different kinds of crops in the same field and mixing different kinds of cloth are all also an abomination. There are fundamental cultural presuppositions that shaped how those texts were understood then. I would also point that if we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we don't find a single passage where Jesus addresses the question of homosexuality, and we only find three passages that are textually very difficult from Paul's letters that deal with it. The bottom line is, as frequently as Jesus denounces judgment and gossip and those things, he never addresses the question of homosexuality.
Yeah, so I want to actually get to a point from the tweet itself that one of the callers is looking to bring up here as well. So Chris from Westwood, welcome to Radio Boston. What's on your mind, Chris?
Hey, well, I don't really have a question. My observation is that Bishop Tobin made some reference to LGBTQ culture creating an unsafe environment for children. I don't know of a single example of that, but I know hundreds of examples where priests and bishops created an unsafe environment. How does that square?
Yeah, and I just want to add some context to that. Bishop Tobin previously was the auxiliary bishop of Pittsburgh, the diocese that was named in the grand jury report on the cover-up of sexual abuse by the Catholic Church. He told the Providence Journal last summer that he became aware of sexual abuse, but they were outside his realm of responsibility. What do you make of the reference of what about the children?
I think it's very clear that no Catholic bishop has any moral authority to say anything about the safety of children at all. I think, you know, Catholics know that. People outside the church know that. Law enforcement and public officials know that at this point. And I think he really misstepped in entering into that territory. What I do know is that Pride celebrations and a more inclusive, supportive environment in our churches and in our culture have so dramatically helped children who grow up questioning their sexual identity or gender identity. And to have more openness leads to less despair, less substance abuse, less homelessness among youth, less suicide. You know, it's really important that young people know that they're going to be loved and embraced and supported for who they are.
Marianne, let me just ask you finally, what do you want to see come out of this incident?
I'm really heartened by the response of Rhode Islanders who, you know, have gathered and shown, you know, love is love. I think it's really important that Catholics in particular, but all people of goodwill, continue to rally around LGBTQI people, continue to send messages of affirmation, and that we do all continue to call on our religious and political leaders when they say anything that is harmful or divisive.
Well, that's Marianne Duddy Burke, Executive Director of Dignity USA, an organization of Catholics working for LGBTQ equality. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
And also Professor Richard Gilardi, Chair of the Theology Department at Boston College and a past President of Catholic Theological Society of America. Thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skoog is our Technical Director. Our Executive Producer is Atesh Hathi. I'm Chris Siderick. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.